This morning's responsive reading came from Psalm number 7. So if you are so inclined, take your Bible and join with us by opening up and turning to Psalm number 7. One of the things that I was taught many, many years ago when studying Scripture was to always look, whether it's a psalm in this case, or whether it's a certain chapter or a certain book, try to even to go so far as to either highlight or underline, if you had the means to do that, to underline or highlight or jot down, maybe in a journal or in a notebook, how many times a certain word or a certain phrase is often repeated. Now, when you look at Psalm 7, one of the things that I see that jumps off the page is found in verse 1, in verse 3. And then it's somewhat shortened in verses 6, verse 8. I'm just scanning here, at least in those places. The phrase, O Lord my God. And those of you who've been around the block, there's a favorite hymn, O Lord my God. We hear that quite often, O Lord my God. And I and often wonder, and it goes on and on. I remember hearing that from Beverly O'Shea, who would normally sing that as a oft-repeated request in the old-fashioned Billy Graham crusades that you would see on TV. Oh, Lord my God, how great thou art. And so when you read something like a psalm, or when you read a particular portion, or maybe like 1 John, 2 John, or the book of Jude that are smaller books, or maybe one of the smaller prophets, and you begin to read it, and you begin to digest what you're reading, try to look for words or phrases that are continually repeated. I was told that if you do that, it kind of helps you to focus in on the depth, the cry, or what was in the mind of the one who composed, like in this case, Psalm 7. Well, beloved, it's quite evident that David, like in last week's Psalm 6, David here is in a jam. O Lord my God, in thee though I put my trust, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. So this is actually another cry for deliverance, like we saw in Psalm 6 last week. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. But then notice in verses 4, 5, and 6, even though David may have his enemies, there is one thing that David wants to make sure between himself and the enemy. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, David here wants to make sure he's covering his bases. Pray adventure that this enemy is someone that David has caused unwittingly, unknowingly, to become an enemy. He says, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Not only does David use that phrase, referring to himself, where enemies did hate him without a cause, and therefore the greater David, the Lord Jesus, also uses the same phrase, telling his disciples that when Jesus was here, those who did hate him hated him without a real justifiable cause. Let the enemy persecute my soul, verse 5, and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. So notice, David acknowledges his enemies. He even acknowledges that they persecute him, and he cries for deliverance. And notice the intensity of verse 2, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rendering it in pieces. So whoever this enemy was, this enemy did have the ability to apparently take David down, or to take him out. And in many cases, it was King Saul, when you read 1 Samuel, King Saul eventually aims his target, his guns, if you will, on David's back. And David has to flee, hiding in caves, hiding in the desert, fleeing even to the Philistines to find refuge from Saul. And then verse 6, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded." Notice that David sees these enemies as part of God's plan for his life. "So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about, for their sakes therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me." Now, I forget the term that is used, but a good example of this term that I can't recall right now, and please forgive me, but in verses 8 is some of the verbiage that's found in the Old Testament coming from David a lot of the time, and here's one example. And we're good to have this example to make this comment. And then you also see the same comment of something similar even being mentioned by some of the prophets. Notice, is David bragging? That's the question. Is David being arrogant and boastful? Is David trying to make himself look good? Or is David stating fact? Remember, he's not praying to another man. He's praying to the Almighty. All right? And David knows that no one's going to pull the wool over the eyes of the Almighty. And the fact that God knows all things from the beginning to the end, because God has decreed all things. So David knows that he cannot hoodwink the Almighty. So David here is laying everything on the line. "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord." Now, when was the last time in a sober-minded prayer you went so far as to ask the Lord to search your heart to see if he can find anything amiss? What a prayer. I believe you find that in Psalm 51. "Search me, O God, try my heart." Wow. "According to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me." So I would say that the righteousness and the integrity that David is calling upon for God to scrutinize David is the righteousness and the integrity that only God could give a man in salvation. Now, I could be wrong. I also believe, too, to a great degree, that David is also talking about the righteousness and the integrity that was being worked out in his own life. But in order for that to be worked out in one's life practically, they have to have that righteousness and integrity granted and given by God first. That's my point. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Notice once again, David says here what? "Judge me, O Lord," verse 9. And then he rewords it by saying what? "The Lord trieth the hearts of all men." And then verse 11, we have a hard time with verse 11 because we've been hearing this real muddled down version of the gospel. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Well, how do you handle verse 11? God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's not upset just with their sins. He's angry with them, the sinner. Not just the sin. And then in verses 15, have you ever heard the expression, "You're going to dig your own grave? You're going to dig your own pit?" That came from verse 15, talking about one of his enemies. He made a pit and digged it. Well, this person made the pit and hopefully hoping that David would fall. He has fallen into the ditch which he made. If one blind man follows another blind man, How does that little phrase normally end? Both will fall in the ditch. Well, that image, that verbiage comes from verse 15. And then finally, verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, not his now, but God's righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So here we see a cry for help, a cry for deliverance. And we can also say, like last week, a cry of desperation. Number two, as we take our journey through the book of Psalms. Well, may God once again in his infinite wisdom bless his word.